Welcome to Transform Your Business Radio. Over the next 15 minutes or so, Joel Helms speaks with small business owners just like you with the purpose of finding out what makes them successful and to share some of their great tips and ideas for transforming your business.
And it's great to have your company. We've been through all sorts of different information and ideas from Anthony M. Turner as we go through the five pillars. And we are at pillar five, manage for success. And Anthony, sadly, it's something that many businesses don't do. They, I guess, are operating under that constant fear of going broke.
Yeah, they do. And Joel, sadly, I've probably worked with over 1,000 small businesses now. And what I find the most common thing is that those small business owners, or the majority of those, seem to work to manage their businesses to avoid failure rather than to manage it for success.
It seems to be a natural thing, and I guess I'm typecasting here and speaking in general terms, but when people open businesses and small businesses in particular, it's right. They do seem to have that mentality that, oh my goodness, all I've got to do is just avoid failing. But really, the mindset should be, what am I going to do to succeed?
Yeah. And look, a lot of that, Joel, comes down to planning. It also comes down to being prepared in a business sense. A lot of people go into business in inverted commas, whereby that they've got a hobby or they've got an interest. Something's happened in their career, as in working for the man, where, I don't know, a business, they've been retrenched, businesses closed down, and all of those things that happen. And they think, oh, well, now's my chance to go and work for myself. And look, that's really great, and I absolutely encourage people to do that. The thing about it, though, is that they go in without the understanding or without the learning or without the preparedness of knowing what is required to actually manage a business in its entirety. Typically, their experience is in one section of the business. So, your main businesses are, you've got areas of your business are planning, you've got your sales, you've got your marketing, you've got your admin and your accounts area, and then you've got your strategic entrepreneurial activity that goes over and above that. So when people are specialists, and let's say they're good at admin or they're good at sales, they're not necessarily good at or necessarily know much about the other aspects which make up the circle of things that are absolutely essential to run your business effectively.
That is a very good point, Anthony, and I've often thought that as being somebody who runs my own business and having previously worked, within radio stations, and the thought has come to me at different times through the course of a day. I've done just about every aspect of what a radio station does, but I've done it myself. You've got to have skills right across every aspect of a business, don't you?
Yeah, look, you do. And, some of those skills are going to be absolutely foreign to us, and some of those skills are going to be things that we hate doing. You'd be surprised at the numbers of people that I encounter who hate bookkeeping. And they sweat about it, and they stress about it, and their BAS is always late, and it's not up to date, and all that sort of stuff. And I say to them, look, how much are you earning an hour? And, let's say they're earning $40, $50 an hour to keep it, relatively low. I say, how long does it take you to do your bookkeeping? And they say, about 4 hours. And I say, okay, so let's call it $40 an hour. Let's call it 4 hours. That's $160. You can actually go and get a bookkeeper for $50 who probably do in 1 hour what takes you 4 hours to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? And yeah, it's not only the savings. In fact, yes, you're spending the money and you're saving your time, but you can use that time to do the things that you enjoy doing within the business, or other things that may probably, no doubt, require your attention.
And or make you more money.
Yeah.
So I think with managing for success, we touched on it in pillar three when we were talking about decide your income, when we were talking about the budgeting process, and we were saying about, create all of your expenses, understand what those things are, and then put on a percentage for profit and growth so that you come up with an income target, and then that's what you work towards. Now, that's one of the first steps about managing for success, because I know from my experience of running sales forces and also from all the businesses that I've worked with, that around about 90% of the people who have an income target will achieve between 90 and 120% of that target. The ones that don't have an income target typically only achieve around 50 to 80% of what they require for their business to run.
What more evidence do you need to set that target? It's crucially important, isn't it?
Absolutely. So that's step one in managing for success. Step two in managing for success is to actually know the numbers of your business. And that's knowing how many people have to walk through the door, how much they have to spend on an average, in an average sale, how many of those that you need per day so that you can actually meet your income targets. So it's about getting clever about knowing where your clients are coming from, how many you need, because your client and your sales traffic numbers are going to be, you can manage them in a couple of different ways. One is that if you're not getting enough dollars coming through your business, you can either go and get more customers, which can be time consuming, or you can sell more to the customers that you are getting.
Mm.
Right? So it's about looking at where is the gap. Are you seeing enough customers? And if you are, well, are you converting enough of those into sales? And then are you converting enough of those sales into repeat customers, satisfied customers who are going to be coming back into your business?
You're spot on, Anthony, I feel. And of course, if you are in business, the chances are you are time poor. It's very important to know that your systems are properly in place and that, you know, everything is running as a well-oiled machine as possible.
Exactly. And so all of your policies, your procedures and reports and all of those other things, which is the administrative side of managing your business, all of those things should be, should be automated wherever possible. I think that, they should be geared towards providing maximum efficiency for you, the business owner, so you can spend more time doing the one thing that you need to do most in your business, and that is seeing paying customers.
Do enough businesses actually have a procedures manual, an actual, I guess, what's the proper term for a business, but almost like a law of the land? Like, everybody's got to be pulling in the right direction. You've got to have proper procedures in place and proper strategies in place, and everybody should be pulling in that same direction, shouldn't they?
Yeah, look, I think the majority of businesses do have policies and procedures. The thing about them is that they're usually in the business owner's head. And so the business owner will tell you what they want to do, but it's actually not documented clearly. So, when I'm working with clients and business owners, what we attempt to do is to actually get some of that stuff out of their head and down onto paper. You can do it bit by bit. You don't have to do a major task of sitting down and writing it all up. But the key things about having this down on paper is, what happens if you're ill? What happens, as recently happened with a business that I was dealing with, the owner died suddenly.
Yeah.
And the family had to come in and take over. Now, even the staff in that particular business, they didn't even know where the owner lived. They knew the telephone number, but they didn't have an address. They didn't have the partner's telephone number to contact them. There's all of these little things that can make a huge, huge difference to the smooth running of the business, so people can actually get information when they need it. Think about, and I'd ask the listeners to think about, when they go for a job, what is the one thing that they want to do most of all? Fit in as quickly as possible. Now, the more information the business owner has to be able to give that new incumbent into a job, this is how we do things here. This is the reasons why we do things here. We're more than happy to hear your comments of how we can do it better, because you may have heard of and know things that we don't know about. These are the occupational health and safety factors that we've got. This is the job description, so we know what we expect of you and what you should expect of us. This is how we actually have our annual or quarterly or half yearly reviews of you as a person, so as we could help you grow in our business and understand what your needs are. It's not about beating the person up for the things that they haven't done right. It's about encouraging them to do more of the things that they do right and get more out of that person for greater productivity. So all of the systems that we work with clients are geared around, how can we make the business better? How can we make it more efficient? And how can we spend less time managing it so collectively we can spend more time in front of the customer?
Believe it or not, it all sort of falls back into what we spoke about last time in Pillar 4 in marketing your business. It is all part of your marketing, isn't it? If you get all the back of house operations correct, it does make a difference to the front of house operation.
Look, it does. And I actually see the management side of the business as almost the foundations of the business. You know, if you're building a business on strong, strong foundations, and let's use the analogy of a house, you can get a really, really nice house. You can put down a concrete slab. You can be decorated well, and it can be beautiful surroundings and everything else, but it's actually not going to stay in place very long if you've actually put that slab on a swamp and it's gradually sinking. If your foundations are right and they are strong, then that business is actually structured to survive through hurricanes and whatever it may be that, you know, are going to come your way. And there are going to be trying and challenging times in a business. We all experience those.
Some fantastic advice, Anthony. I think we should go right back to where we started, and that was talking about, just a quick little sum up, people who are running businesses often, they just need someone to talk to, and it can be very daunting, it can be a tough step, and often it goes against your ego, I suppose, because you're going to have to show people what you've been working on and open up your doors to your life and your business, but it's well worth it in the end, and you're there to help, Anthony.
Absolutely. That's what my whole life is about now, is helping small business owners go get to success, the success that they desire. And, you know, all of the top people that I've ever come across, whether that's in sport or whether that's in business, all have coaches and mentors. I actually have two that mentor me. And I keep doing that because I like to stay a little bit ahead of the game so as I can learn from people who know a bit more than me, so that I can encourage and help my clients, you know, and give more information to my clients as well. There are many services. You know, I am but one of many that are out there. The key things I would suggest that, you know, listeners need to be thinking about, yeah, does the person have the right sort of style? Do they have the sort of same sort of thought processes? Can they actually work, you know, well together? Are they happy to be open, honest, and to share even the darkest secrets? Because, you know, I find I work best, and the clients that I work with get the best results when all the cards are actually out there, honestly, openly on the table. You know, if we're in financial doo-doos, we are in financial doo-doos. Let's sort out and work out what we've got to do. If the finances are strong but the marketing is weak, well, let's understand what's not working so that we can take it forward. But I would encourage all small businesses, you know, whether it's me or whoever, it doesn't matter, but I would encourage all small businesses to actually get guidance from people who know more than they do about the business side of it, but also to work collectively with other businesses, whether that's through traders groups, local chambers of commerce, whatever it may be, because in sharing the experience with other business owners, you actually get ideas of how they do things differently, and these are all elements that successful people do innately.
Often you can feel alone, Anthony, but it's simply not the case, is it? Good on you. Thank you very much for explaining the five pillars, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Joel.
Psst. Hey, interested in free ideas, tips, and a whole range of special offers, including free advertising to help your small business succeed? Thought so? Get on to transformyourbusiness.com.au and check out Club TYB. Club TYB provides free advertising for your business, plus a range of special offers including discounts and bonuses on coaching, skills training, financial and business planning, legal and accounting support, plus signs, bookkeeping, and many products and services to help your business succeed. Follow the links to Club TYB on transformyourbusiness.com.au and take advantage of all the savings to transform your business. Remember, follow the links to Club TYB at transformyourbusiness.com.au and start saving now. For our full library of podcasts, plus links to Club TYB, the home of special offers for small business owners from small business owners, visit transformyourbusiness.com.au.
Transform Your Business Radio is a Helms Media Solutions production. Visit helms.com.au.